Good morning, everyone. Great to see you this morning. How you doing? Everyone good? How about you give the person next to you a nice kiss on the cheek? Tell them they're looking fantastic. And tell the better looking person that they are beautiful. There you go. Awesome. Paul, you just didn't kiss Fallon on the cheek, did you? Jackson? Sort some things out here. Awesome. Hey, just want to welcome a great couple that's with us in the house this morning, visiting all the way from Adelaide. And that is Danny and Sarah Bland. Danny and Sarah, why don't you stand up so everyone can see who you are. Let's give them a great clap. Sarah is a pastor at Influences Church in Adelaide. And Danny has also served for many years, running production and media and all that for over 7 years, right, Danny? And God is taking him into a new phase of his destiny. And you still look so young, Danny. Hey, how good is that? Can we give them another clap and just welcome them to our church today? Great to have you guys. They've come up to visit Karen and Jared to say hello to us. And also to see Vivid. Who's been to Vivid, by the way? Anyone? You know, the light thingamajig? So, that looks so cool. I'm going to be going later on in the week. It was too busy last night. I could let the crowds just die down a little bit. So, we're not dealing with millions of people. So, it's going to be really, really cool. Hey, my daughter turned 15 this week. Can you believe it? Can we, everyone say happy birthday, Tori? There you go. 15. Tori, come on. Break it down. Good job. And I just want to extend a congratulations to Gary and Yaz, who've had little baby girl, Naya. Can we give Gary and Yaz particularly a great clap? Congratulations, guys. So, so exciting. And lots of babies in the life of the church at the moment. Our kids program is multiplying, literally, which is just so, so cool. There's a few other families that have had babies in the church in the last 2 weeks. I know Tom and Jess Warren have had a little baby as well, baby James, and Duran and Lisa, I think, also had baby James as well. And I know Rachel Buttigieg just might have a baby today. You never know. So on Sunday. So very, very exciting. Can we pray and just give God thanks for his word? Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for speaking to us today. We receive it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. This week I was preaching at a conference in Adelaide. And second time I've been back to Adelaide since we've moved to Sydney. You drive through Adelaide, you kind of don't... this is going to sound a bit strange what I'm about to say. I was concentrating, so don't freak out. You don't see roads, you kind of have memories, you know. And it was very cool being there. But I have to say, I'm very thankful to God for Sydney. And driving around, I'm like, I've become so used to Sydney. I'm like, where are all the cars? There's no one around. What's going on here? No one to get upset at. Come on, someone. All the fast drivers said, amen. To the speed limit. I speed up to the speed limit. Come on. Some of you apply the GST rule. You shouldn't do that. But Tim applies, Sam applies the GST rule, 10%. Oh, how funny is that? So, so good. They put me on Christian TV this week when I was preaching, and it was broadcast all through the Pacific region, through Papua New Guinea and Fiji and so on. And it's amazing when you just reflect on our church's journey and what God has done through our church. You know, I say to our pastors and our team, if we take care of the depth, God will take care of the breadth. And promotion doesn't come from the east or the west, the north or the south. Promotion comes from the Lord. And everything that we do has to be tested in the laboratory of our own home. And so we want to build deep foundations and a deep reservoir, deep well in our own church. And God, by his grace, takes that and he uses it to be a blessing in other environments. But I do love the Shire, and I'm very thankful for my coffee addiction that I now have in the Shire. And love our church and love what God's doing. And we know it's only the beginning. A couple of weeks ago, I started a new series on expansion on the brink of destiny. We've been preaching on the 12 spies, the spies who came to the brink of destiny. After 18 months of being in the wilderness, God brings them to a place where they are ready to enter their promised land. You know the story. 10 spies give a negative report, and 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb. Any Joshua and Caleb's in the house this morning? Whose report will we believe? They give a positive, faithful report about what God is able to do. It's amazing the power of words, the power of testimony. And literally through that testimony, through those words, an entire generation was shifted to a new phase of destiny. Unfortunately, it was not a good phase. It was a wilderness wandering for 40 years. But today we are going to move on from that story and we are going to look at another story where a man was on the brink of destiny and how he embraced the purpose of God for his future. This morning I want to preach a message about a deliberate, methodical and spirit-inspired, here we go, geographical structure. 4 settings, 4 environments, 4 places, 4 locations, 4 stations, if you will. Everyone say the number 4. These 4 locations that we're going to have a look at today, they carry a significant, vital, and essential message marking a continuity of God's power from one generation to the next. These 4 locations that we're going to have a look at today have an intentional and a deliberate unity in the plan and the purposes of God. In fact, they are intentional. They are sequential. They are a spirit-inspired journey that every single believer in the room this morning, we will go through these locations in the plan and purposes of God for our lives. The story we're going to pick up today is the story of Elijah and Elisha. One generation has served God with all of their heart. One generation has given of their best. One generation has obeyed the plan and the purposes of God. And now there's a new generation that's about to arise, and that generation symbolic of Elisha, a Paul and a Timothy, a Moses and a Joshua. Elijah takes this young, developing, haveago.com prophet on a spiritual journey. This is a journey that took place on one single day. This is a journey that all of us, all believers in the house this morning, we will go through these 4 locations. We could call it the farewell tour of Elijah. Some of you would know a lot about farewell tours. You don't see much of it with bands these days, but it's a little bit like the John Farnham farewell tour. This is a farewell tour of a great man of God, and he's ready to pass on his mantle. He's ready to pass on his anointing to the next generation. Is there any next generation people here this morning who say, I want a double portion of the Spirit of God? So let's have a look at these 4 locations. You this morning will find yourself in one of these locations. You may find yourself going through these locations repeatedly. And God, by His grace, takes us through these locations. The New Testament speaks about these locations. We call it the process of discipleship. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 1. And I want you to observe 4 locations. Are you ready? 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah, one generation, into heaven by a whirlwind. What a way to go and be with God. That Elijah went with Elisha from where? First location? Come on, church. First location? Gilgal. Verse 2. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to second location, Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Let's skip to verse 4. It says, then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to third location, Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. I want you to observe two generations walking hand in hand, one location to another. Let's go to verse 6. And it says, then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the fourth location, Jordan." So we have Gilgal, we have Bethel, we have Jericho, and now we have Jordan. Four locations, four places of significance. Let's continue on the story. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Any double portion people in the house this morning? Thank you, Colin. I knew you would say amen. So he said, "You have asked the hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire. That's one video in heaven I want to watch. And separated the two of them. And Elijah went by a whirlwind into heaven. The man didn't die. He was just taken up by God. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, when you love the relationship of a spiritual father more than what they can give you, you're in the right place. The chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He's upset. Verse 13. He also, here we go, took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Four locations, each with their own meaning, each with their own purpose, each used in God's plan, discipleship plan for our lives to build His God shape into us. This discipleship process started thousands of years ago and continues to our generation in the plans and the purposes of God to shape us, to mold us, to impact and to touch a generation. Four locations that we will find ourselves in. Four locations of significance. Four structures, four stations in the purposes of God for our lives. Number one, we see that Elijah takes Elisha to, firstly, to a place. They start off at a place called Gilgal. The word Gilgal is famous in the book of Joshua, when Joshua had led the children of Israel now into a new season. Moses had died. They cross into a new phase where they are ready to take on the promised land. And God at Gilgal does something, well, that was not good for all the men, but it had to be done. Joshua chapter 5, make flint knives and circumcise all the Israelites, the men, again. Gilgal symbolically stands for separation. In fact, the word Gilgal means a rolling or a rolling away. And it is called Gilgal because God is saying to them, I have rolled away the past. Joshua chapter 5 verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach, everyone say the word reproach, of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. The word reproach means shame, it means disgrace. In fact, the Hebrew word, in fact, means accusation. This is a place of separation where we are not bound to the mistakes of our past. We are not bound to what was. But we have found ourselves in a new place in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any of us be in Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Romans says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith. The word justified means, you could put it this way, justified, just as if I'd. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification simply means this. It means just as if I'd never sinned, justified. We've been justified. It's a place of new beginnings. Your past has no power. It has no authority over you. Do you remember that place, that location, that church, that meeting, that prayer meeting, that friendship where you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you say a name of a church, all kinds of memories come up in my mind. A church called Girraween Assemblies of God. As a 14-year-old, I was invited to go along to a youth group on a Saturday night. And as I was at this youth group, God was drawing me to himself. The preacher preached. Steve Fogarty, who's the president or principal of our National Bible College. I don't even remember anything that he said. But I remember one thing. If you were to walk out of this building and a drunk driver was to come down the road and the drunk driver was to hit you, 25th of June, 1988, he said, where would you go? And as a 14-year-old, I thought to myself, I don't know if I would go to heaven. My hand goes up. And on that day, I experienced the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. We must have a revelation of the grace and the mercy and the kindness of God. I say to people, understanding God's grace is a little bit like when you put your shirt on and you do the buttons. If you get the first button wrong, it kind of just doesn't sit right. Who knows what I'm talking about? Grace is the basis. God's kindness is the basis. God's mercy, it's not the end point, it's the beginning, that we love him because he first loved us. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear much fruit. We sit here today because of the grace of God. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. We worship today. We give thanks today. We are holy and pure today. All because of God's kindness and God's grace. Gilgal is the place of separation. It's the place of beginnings. It's a place where shame, the reproach, the things of our past, the taunts of the past, the disgrace of the past, the accusations of the past, no longer have authority over us because we have been made new in Jesus Christ. They go from Bethel to the next location, or from Gilgal, excuse me, to the next location, and that is, of course, Bethel. A 12-kilometer walk. They're burning the calories on that day. Bethel is known because of a man by the name of Jacob who decided one night he was going to get a rock, turn it into a pillow. Don't ask me why. He put his head on the rock and he goes to sleep. The place, in fact, is actually called Luz, L-U-Z. He's there sleeping in Luz and he has a supernatural dream. In this dream, he sees a ladder going from heaven to the earth and the angels of God ascending and descending upon this ladder. He's having a supernatural encounter with the presence of God. He hears the voice of God in this dream, and the voice of God says, as I was with Abraham, your father, and Isaac, I'm going to be with you. I will multiply you. There is a dream, and then there is a declaration that's made over his life. And God says to Jacob that he would bless him. And he said, the very land that you stand upon, I will give it to you, and I will multiply your descendants. The same blessing that Abraham and Isaac heard is the same blessing that now rests upon Jacob. But Jacob does something. He wakes up and he says to himself, surely this is the gateway. Surely this is the gateway to heaven. And he says, this place shall no longer be called Luz. This place shall be called Bethel. Bethel simply means house of God. But he does something. He takes the rock that was his pillow, and the Bible says that he pours oil upon the rock. And he says that this place of the pouring of oil upon the rock will be symbolic of his place of encounter with the presence of God. The pouring out of oil in the Hebrew simply means it's a life of devotion. My life, it's symbolic. As this is poured out, he's saying, God, my life will be an offering to you. My life will be dedicated to you. My life will be a life that is filled with devotion and worship to the Lord. We find ourselves in Gilgal, not only separated unto God, but we find that God brings us to a place in Bethel where we know his presence, where we are called to a life of devotion, where we are called to a life that's filled with worship. We're called to a place where our heart and our emotions and our desires and everything that we are belongs to him. Bethel is the place where I encounter his presence. Bethel is the place where I am marked with a promise from God. Do you remember your Bethel? Do you remember your Bethel as a teenager? Do you remember your Bethel where God spoke something into your spirit, where God by his grace came and said, you are mine. I have chosen you. I will use you. I will bless you. I will cause you to expand. I remember my Bethel. My Bethel came as a teenager at a good old youth camp. Got to give it up for youth camps. And at the youth camp, there I was on my knees seeking God. And I was, as I was seeking God, the Holy Spirit comes upon me. I was 15 years of age. The snot started to fly everywhere. But I didn't care because I was having my Bethel moment. This was my house of God moment. This was the pouring out of the oil saying, my life will be a life that's devoted unto the purposes of God. My life will be a life that's filled with worship. And in that moment, God made a declaration over my life and God spoke to me. And I would lie down in bed at that youth camp at nighttime and I'd listen to the Youth Alive album, fire it up. And as I'd listen to that album, tears would roll down my face lying in bed because I knew that the call of God was upon my life. And all the crusades I've done in Papua New Guinea, all the preaching I've done, and all the things that God by his grace and his kindness
has used me, and I saw all of that as a teenager when I had my Bethel moment, my house of God moment, and God said, let me give you a picture of your future. Elijah then says to the young prophet, Elisha, let's keep going. And they walk from the place of separation, the place of whose we are, the past is gone, the new has come, to the God encounter. They then walk to a place called Jericho. 24-kilometer walk. They are fit now. And here they are at Jericho. Jericho, of course, is known for the walls of, come on, church, the walls of Jericho. All encounters must bring us to a place of a decision to act out in faith. Faith without a corresponding action is dead. God, in His grace, He brings us to this place where we are called to make big decisions. We experience His presence. We experience His promise. We experience His kindness, and we get all the nice, you know, mountaintop. Come on, who loves the mountaintop? Someone this morning. I love the mountaintops. But God brings us to a place of decision at Jericho. He says to Joshua, these walls, I'm telling you, Joshua, they're impenetrable. It's impossible. You can't do this. But this is how we're going to do it. Walk around, don't talk, and then on the seventh day, walk around seven times. No one's allowed to talk, and then everyone is to shout, and then the walls are going to come down. The best battle plan in the history of humanity. Faith calls us to hear from God and to obey the ridiculous. Faith brings us to a place where God says, in the middle of what seems impossible, can you trust that I'm able to do it? The amount of people that I know over the years of ministry who've had their Bethel, or let me start at Gilgal, who've had their Bethel, but when it comes to Jericho, they're not willing to cross that line. Are you willing to leave it all behind to obey the ridiculous? The generation under Moses' leadership, the 12, Hebrews speaks about them and says that they heard the word, they had their encounter, but it was never mixed with faith. What is faith? Faith is acting like it is so when it is not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. Step out of the boat, Peter, come. Cast your net on the island. Lord, I've been doing this all night. You're a carpenter. We're professional fisher people. We know what we're doing. Cast it on the other side. Stretch out your hand. Jesus didn't say which hand. He just said, stretch out your hand. He could have chosen to stretch out His good hand, but He said, here's my brokenness. And He came with vulnerability before God. God will bring you to places where He asks you to obey the ridiculous. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Jericho is the place where God says, I'm going to show you how to conquer the land. I'm going to show you how to move forward into your destiny. You get obey, or you get orders from the Lord. You obey them by faith. And no matter how foolish it seems, you act out the purposes of God. Jericho is the place that what's impossible with men is possible with God. Jericho is the place where you, in fact, stop praying for wisdom and you say, Lord, give me courage. While I was in my transition from Adelaide to Sydney, didn't know how it was going to work out. Didn't know what God was going to do. Didn't know what things were going to... Lord, help me, speak to me. I'm in Campbelltown of all places. Let's give it up for Campbelltown, somebody. I'm living in Adelaide and I'm in Campbelltown, and I was invited to go to a meeting with Pastor Phil Pringle, an apostle in our generation. And it was just a handful of pastors, and I was up here in Sydney, and I'm in the room in Campbelltown, and I'm on my knees. And all afternoon I was praying, Lord, give me wisdom. If any of us lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to us, who gives to all liberally, and he does not withhold. Wisdom, God, wisdom, word for word, wisdom, Jesus. I go to the meeting, Pastor Phil Pringle, some of you heard the story. In my transition, he says, Brad, he's preaching, he says, I feel a word for you. God's saying, stop praying for wisdom. What you need is courage. Church, Jericho is the place of courage. Jericho is the place where it all might fail. It may not actually work, but I choose to trust and to listen to the voice of God. They go from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho, all in one day. Where do you find yourself on the discipleship journey? And they then come to a place just a few kilometers called Jordan. Elijah and Elisha, two generations walking hand in hand. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. So you know the story. Elijah, big whirlwind comes. It's like, whew, man's gone. He's raptured. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Verse 13, here we go. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And look at where he goes. And went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He picks up this anointing. He picks up this responsibility. He moves from a separated life to a God encounter life, rich with the presence of God, rich with worship, to a place of faith victories. But now we see him picking up a mantle. Now watch this. If you read the account of the story and you follow the journey, you can do this in your own time. You find that the geographical pattern continues. But guess how it continues? It now goes in reverse order. He goes from the Jordan to Jericho, then to Bethel, and then back to Gilgal. What's my point? My point is this, mums and dads. One of the best gifts we can leave to the next generation is a prepared servant of God to take our place. Elisha could only go to those locations because Elijah first decided to go through them. That double portion that fell, well, you know, of course, that in Elijah's ministry, he had eight recorded miracles. In Elisha's ministry, there were 16 miracles. Double portion, twice as much. This faith journey that God is calling us to is not just about the here and now, but what we are in fact doing is preparing a generation to come. We're preparing those kids that one day they will walk through Gilgal and they will find out who they are in Christ, and the reproach of the past has no authority and it has no power, all with the hope that that will eventually land in Bethel and they will hear the voice of God and the promises of God, and they, like Jacob, will make a decision to pour the oil out and to say, my life will be a life of worship. But then eventually God will bring them to a place called Jericho, and they will reflect on a generation gone before them who made faith decisions. In the face of impossibility, they chose to please God and to step out in faith, and they will say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. If he was able to do it then, he's able to do it now. Because they will be dealing not with auditoriums that seat 1,000 people. They will be dealing with stadiums. They will be dealing on Sunday morning with stuff much larger than what we will deal with in our generation. But someone has to get to Jericho, and then eventually they come to the place called Jordan, where there is a transference of the anointing from one generation to the next. What we are doing here today, church, is not just having church. We're acting out the plans and the purposes of God, and we're preparing a generation to come after us so that they could say of us one day, if he did it for them, he's able to do it for us. I believe the largest youth ministries are yet to be built. The largest churches are yet to be built. The churches and the songs and the worship that will impact our world are yet to be sung. The media, the places of influence, the seven mountains, for those of you who know what that means, law, politics, media, etc., Christian young people rising up in the purposes of God, because we had a generation that did go by that said the only way God can use you is if you stand on this, you know, pulpit and God used you. No, God wants to use people in the marketplace. He wants to raise up a Daniel. He wants to raise up a Nebuchadnezzar. And he wants to raise up an Esther in the marketplace. Those people are yet to come. Can we be a generation that understands the discipleship pathways of God? We will live a life that's separated, be in the world, but not, come on church, of the world. We love encounter. We love Bethel. We love the presence of God. But it has to be acted out at my Jericho, because I want to pass to the next generation not just anchors. We want to pass to the next generation platforms to say, double portion, twice as much. Come on, mums and dads, twice as much anointing, twice as much in the plans and in the purposes of God. I don't know how to finish this sermon today, because I didn't write a conclusion. So we will just close this right now, put it down here. And if I could have the musos and singers, please, that would be fantastic. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for what you're doing. I just feel the Holy Spirit saying this. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap for the next generation. Stand in the gap for what's about to come. Now I'm going to prophesy. I feel the Lord saying, this move of God, this thing that I am doing. In fact, just watch this for a second. What did Elisha see? He saw this whirlwind, horses. I mean, these things were on fire. I mean, it's like, whoa. What did he see? He saw something of the supernatural. If we're willing to be separated, if we're willing to have a Bethel, our God encounters, and we're willing to act out in faith, what happens is, that is a formula. It's a chemistry for a generation to come to say, that's a move of God. We want this generation after us to see those things. We want this generation to say of us, they stepped out in faith, so can we. Father, we just ask you this morning that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to be that generation like Elijah, who could walk, and Elisha, a new generation in your discipleship pathway. We commit ourselves to that. This is what I feel the Lord saying. I said I was going to prophesy before. I feel God saying that what he will do on the earth is not about Elijah or Elisha. It's about two generations walking hand in hand. It's about two. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What we are demonstrating to a generation. They are, here we go, the Lord is saying, what we are demonstrating, don't underestimate what the youth and the kids are actually seeing. Don't underestimate what's actually going on in their heart. For I am working a work in this generation. Don't underestimate what they are observing and hearing in the plans. And that's a promise for a parent today. Don't underestimate what's happening in their heart as worship takes place in this auditorium. They are observing lives that are fully devoted unto the Lord. It's oil being poured upon the rock. We receive that and speak that in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. Can we just have a Bethel this morning, church? Come on, come to that place. Come to that place of worship. Can we all just stand up just for a moment?